Hey there, thanks for listening to CantoCast. I'm CantoCast Blue, and CantoCast is your destination for all kinds of Pokemon and gaming entertainment. CantoCast is a podcast. Of course, you already knew that, but I also do 5 to 6 live streams a week over at twitch.tv/CantoCast, and I have other video projects going on over at youtube.com/c/CantoCast, including Let's Plays, VGC tutorials, Pokemon battles, and more. If you're loving what CantoCast is doing, hit up a pledge on Patreon or come subscribe over on Twitch. By supporting the content, you help support not only me and my family, but also my aspirations to continue to make content for everyone to enjoy. All the links you'll need for any of that will be in the episode description. And with that, please enjoy the latest episode of CantoCast. Hello and welcome to CantoCast episode 87. As always, I am Blue, your dedicated host over here on the show, because it's my show and I can do what I want. For example, today we're going to be talking about something a little more topical than Pokemon at the time. Not a lot happening with Pokemon, except Detective Pikachu, that just came out, I think, or people got review copies or something along those lines. Either way, not going to be talking about that today. We're not going to be talking about Charlotte Regionals, which I'm sure some of you guys maybe expected. But we're not going to do that today. Today, we're going to be talking about something that affects the gaming community. We'll say a little bit as a whole. No matter what game you play, no matter what community you come from, this kind of affects everybody on a much bigger scale. And so I had to bring in a little extra firepower to talk about this. Specifically, because while I love my wife, she is not well-versed in the gaming world. But, you know what? She's still fantastic, nevertheless. However, we got the baddest of co-hosts coming in today. You may know him as the man or the legend, but everybody knows him as Crimson Seabad. Welcome, Crimson.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Blue. What's going on, everybody? Glad to be here co-hosting episode number 87. 87 episodes. That's quite it. That's very impressive.
We actually just did our 3-year anniversary last week.
Wow.
Which wow. We didn't even do an episode on. So there's no time. There's no time, man. There's too much stuff going on.
I believe it. Time is valuable. Yeah, so we're here to talk today about a little bit of what I'd like to say, a little bit of a merging of cultures in a sense. There's a huge culminescence surrounding a specific game right now, and a lot of that comes from other popular content creators, other popular musicians that are getting into this, a lot of main profile celebrities getting in on this game, and that is Fortnite Battle Royale.
Yes, if you guys were not aware by the title, which is called the Fortnite Phenomenon with Crimson Seabat. None of these reveals should have been a surprise to you, honestly.
None of it, unless you were thinking it was a 2-week phenomenon, then by all means, no, we're talking about the video game, not the unit of time.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's another. I've seen Fortnite spelled so many different ways. It's bizarre.
I don't think I mind so much the misspellings of it, because I feel misspellings are more common on the internet. I think probably my biggest pet peeve, and it branches out onto the internet in general, is capitalizing different letters of the game. so like for example, Crimson Seabad, CBAD is all capital letters. So when I see Fortnite, capital F-O-R-T, capital N-I-T-E, that's when I get a little offended. I'm like, no, spell it however you want. But we gotta realize something right now. We gotta stop the problem right here and right now.
Well, I mean, I don't want to brag, but I got your name right in the episode notes.
Did I see that? I've had many people not get that right, so I appreciate the respect put on my name. There we go.
You know, it's the attention to detail over here at CantoCast that really, I think, sets us apart.
It really does. It's a standard that you have to hold to, you know.
So I guess. Yeah, so I wanted to bring, let me just disclaim, I wanted to bring you on again. It's been like a year and a half since you've been on last.
That's actually wild, now that I think about that.
Yeah, right? Remember, you were back with it back then, you said Pokemon Go was a dead app, and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yep, I said some things, man. It's coming back slowly but surely, but I don't know how much my opinions have changed. But.
I want to, first of all, congratulate you because you have done something that I think a lot of creators, specifically within the Pokemon realm, want to do and always think about doing, myself included, not but too long ago. You've actually branched out and succeeded in growing in a variety of games, honestly. And that's kind of why I thought having you on for this particular topic would be really, really strong, because I think you're pretty familiar with, you know, a couple of the different popular battle royale, third person down, shooter types.
Yeah, no, I've been. Firstly, thank you. Let me start there. Secondly, no, battle royales are very fun. After I moved out of my old apartment into my new office space, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds PUBG was a strong passion of mine, and I'm looking at my office right now. I've got a big sign from their mixer that I attended at PAX South, and it holds a special place in my heart because I never knew I enjoyed those types of games. And then I would watch a few streamers back during early access, early alpha of Fortnite, when the original game came out. So for those of you who don't know, Fortnite originally was not a battle royale game. It was I'm going to say tower defense, and it's not going to make sense, but like you would build these bases and have just waves of zombies come, and you would need to go harvest like materials out in the open world to bring back to your base. Like the actual concept of Fortnite was not at all a battle royale. And then they came out and did battle royale, in my opinion, better than anybody else has, or has continued to do. So it's just the competitive side of me just thrives in that, you know. It's very skill-based. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it so very much.
That's interesting. I didn't know about the tower defense thing.
Yeah, so you would essentially build a base, you know, if you've ever watched Fortnite Battle Royale, you know, you have to, you know, break down trees and buildings and stuff for, you know, the wood, the stone, and the metal. You would do that in sort of like an open map setting in the game and then come back to, I guess, say like a town, like a hotspot or something. And you would fortify your base and you would set down traps and stuff and build turrets and all this other good stuff. And then at night, these things called husks would come out. And you would need to defend your base and your town area from the husks that were coming at you. So I actually got attracted to Fortnite from the original concept. I love like Call of Duty zombies, things like Gears of War Horde mode. That was a lot of my childhood and in my teenage and early adult years. So that right there, I was like, okay, that seems really interesting. And then if you owned the Founders Edition of the original game, you were given early access to the Battle Royale, and I'd watch a few creators play that. And in my mind, I was like, you know, this is doing pretty well. I like to see how this goes. And then it became free to play, and just ever since then, I mean, the growth has been exponential for numbers across the board, viewership, from viewers watching, you know, the amount of streamers broadcasting the content, the different types of content created by it. I mean, it's so incredible to see just a universal expansion based off of one game specific, mode in a game specifically, I should say.
Which they're on mobile now too, right?
Yep, it is. They have just become, and I'll kind of branch into how I feel like it's become so popular. Originally on, I believe, PS4 and PC, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong. It became free to play on Battle Royale, and there was like a glitch in the matrix. I believe someone told me, I think I was on a trip, and someone told me they accidentally hit the switch for crossplay, like one day and one day only PC. Like there was a light switch, like it said, turn on the lights in the office or turn on cross platform play. And like for one day and one day only, PC players and PS4 players were playing together. And then there were people who were finding out ways around it afterwards to be able to cross platform play. And then Fortnite and Fortnite Battle Royale moved to Xbox One. And that was that was kind of its own thing. If you played on Xbox, you couldn't really play with anybody else. And then they started, you know, working ways around and working with the cross-platform play. So, you know, I, for instance, play on a PC. You know, my younger brother's a junior in high school. He's a big fan of the game. He plays it on Xbox. Well, now, you know, how can we make our game even more popular? You can break down the walls, you know. Oh, like back in the day, you know, you have a PlayStation, way back in the day, you have a PlayStation 3, I have an Xbox 360. We can't play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 together. So that kind of like, we can't spend that much time together. We're not interested in playing the game that much. But if we could, we'd be spending more time on it because we wouldn't need to worry about, you know, the hardware that you need versus the hardware I have. They've opened up to full cross-platform play. So now I can play with my younger brother who plays on Xbox. I can play with my friend Drew who plays on PlayStation 4. And, you know, my father can download the smartphone app now. It just released to mobile, or it's slowly releasing into mobile for iOS and Android, I believe. And that also is cross-platform play. Excuse me. So just being able, you take a wildly, virally successful game such as Fortnite, and the developers just ask themselves, you know, how can we continually do better? You know, we make weekly to bi-weekly improvements on the game. We keep our users updated with these patch notes every single week. We let them know what's being fixed. We let them know what problems we know exist in the game and that we're working on. And now all of a sudden, on top of continually optimizing this game, now they allow quite literally anybody to party up anywhere. And it's just, that's why I believe it's just so fantastic. On top of the free-to-play aspect, now a free-to-play game cross-platform through every single device, it just skyrockets the success that much more.
So I knew about cross-platform. I did not know that the mobile also integrated into that.
Yep, I can. So actually, just so I'm not talking out of my rear here, I have my let me make sure my phone is off on there. I did receive an invite code, and I believe it's still going through waves of invites for the mobile. I was in the first wave of creators to get access to the mobile game, and it's what you'd expect. And a lot of people, you know, it's more fun, I suppose. There's a lot of kids who, if you watch streamers, they're like, you know, oh, Crimson Seabed, you know, I don't. What type of computer would you recommend to play this? You know, how do you stream this? Blah, blah, blah. How do you play this game? You know, my grandmother's Walmart laptop won't run Fortnite. You know, how do you do this? Well, it's 2018. I'm not going to say every, you know, child and teenager has them, but I would assume a larger majority than back when I was a teenager have, you know, smartphone devices, iPhones, Androids, Google phones, things like that. Smartphones that have the potential to run this. Yeah, so as of right now, I'm logged in on Fortnite through my phone, and I've got friends online and they have little icons showing which platform they're on. I can send them a message and say, hey, want to squad up? So I can play with my PC friends right now just while we're having this, you know, conversation.
Wow.
It's absolutely wild.
That's crazy. I mean, so touching back to availability of cell phones, I just saw an article come through my Google Now feed about how teachers and teenagers are saying that the Fortnite app is ruining high schools because of how popular it is.
I believe that. So when they originally give you the code, you know, you to go to the website and sign up, you know, enter in your, you know, your email or whatever, sign in with your Epic account, they would send you a code. And originally you get one code for yourself. You know, if you were feeling generous, you gave that one code to somebody else. However, as it comes out through the game, every time you get a code, you know, so I got my code sent to me as I was just looking at my dashboard on my phone. I have 3 invite codes that I can share with anybody. So I can, and it just kind of spreads like that. Cause as of right now, I don't believe it's available in the, you know, the app stores or the Google Play stores, but I can still send that link to somebody, and it's skyrocketed. I believe one of the number one apps or the top applications on the phone. It's not available in every country yet. And it's legitimately only accessible through invite only codes. I mean, I can see it happening. I can see it happening.
I believe that's how Spotify started, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because
makes sense, though.
I had a friend who was like really big in the tech industry. That if anybody remembers the Motorola Zoom, one of the first tablets to come out.
My mother had one of those. Yep.
Yeah, this dude hooked me up with a $500 off coupon to get one. Like, he had the ins everywhere, and he was actually one of those people who had a couple Spotify invite codes and sent it to my wife and I. And so I like Spotify, obviously huge. It's integrated with stuff like, you know, Discord, and, you know, it's everywhere. That's not a bad way to do it. That's actually really smart.
Not at all, because if I have something you, I think it's also human nature. If I have something you don't, you know, oh, Crimson Seabed, your microphone sounds really good. You know, what do you have? Oh, well, you know, I've got such and such microphone. Oh, cool. Where can I get one? Oh, you can't. What? You know, well, I guess if I give you this specific, you know, discount code to log into a special website that only you can order from. And then it's like, oh my goodness. You know, I believe that's just the better part of better or worse part, I guess, part of human nature that, you know, the exclusivity of it. Attracts people.
That's a really good, like, I don't know if they maybe had this in mind when thinking about that, but that's actually a really good in for influencers as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It causes a one of the big things with influencer marketing, I find, is before release products, receiving products prior to launch. So that way you can hype them up. You know, let's say for instance, I'm watching, we'll delve into this a little bit, but being on the Fortnite topic, you know, I'm watching Ninja play Fortnite, and his sound just sounds really awesome. And I notice the mic he's using, it's nothing too crazy. And someone can ask in the chat, you know, yo, Ninja, your voice sounds really good. What microphone are you using? And he says, oh, it's not the microphone. It could be, you know, the new Sony mix board. And then someone's like, yo, where can I get that? Because through Twitch, there's a lot of accessibility to just be able to either find someone's part list or go through their Amazon gear list. And he says, well, it's not available for release yet. But if you guys want it, you know, bookmark this link or something like that, or sign up for information on that. Now, all of a sudden, people are like, oh, man, I can sign up and get, you know, the same mixer as Ninja or something along those lines, you know? I think a lot of that, that exclusivity does help go hand in hand with influencer marketing 100%.
Well, I think, you know, and again, we'll get down to specifically the numbers that the fabled legendary Ninja stream pulled. You're having direct access from one person to hundreds of thousands of other people in like seconds, like literal seconds. And oh, yeah. You're not banking on the fact that it's going to randomly pop up in one of their YouTube ads, like. You're targeting a market that is interested in this particular stuff, mm-hmm. and you're having someone that they idolize or look up to promote it to them. I mean, mm-hmm. if people, and again, we'll talk about this in a hot minute, but if people aren't taking influencers seriously yet, I don't know.
I'll give you a great example. So I'm on this health kick for 2018, and I'm not the most gym rat person around there, quote unquote. But I'm a big fan of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm a huge fan. You know, as a kid, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? That I said that way too much. You know, interrupting people and yelling, it doesn't matter what you think. Like, that was my thing as a child because I thought it was so adorable. Like, I thought it was so funny and awesome. And then, you know, as he became an actor and doing all this other stuff, and now he's a comedian, now he's doing Disney movies, all this stuff, you know, I've just grown to enjoy his persona. And the reason I bring this up is because, and I pair all these two together, is that he just launched, as of recording right now, he launched his new Under Armour campaign yesterday. It was a whole new Under Armour line of clothes that developed, you know, that The Rock helped create and all this other stuff. And I'm not, like I said, you know, I eat healthy. You know, I try to go on jogs every now and then outside of the home. I don't go to the gym, but I'll be something if I didn't go on that website and consider to myself, I could get a whole wardrobe right now. I can get the shoes, the joggers, like everything. Like and that's influencer marketing for you right there. Using not only, you know, pairing somebody you enjoy with a product you potentially enjoy, but also using the vast popularity of somebody to be able to promote their own products and being attracted to that as well is fantastic. And I really do think it's growing to be taken more seriously. I think it should. I would love it, the speed of it to be taken seriously, to be increased. But I think that it's going in the right direction right now.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. So I guess we'll take kind of a hard break at the moment before we get into the memes and the epicness that did take place from Fortnite. One of the topics that I wanted to kind of discuss, I guess, was the comparison of PUBG, because PUBG was around first. Mm-hmm. I believe it wasn't open access right away. if I'm remembering correctly.
I wasn't around in the very beginning of it. I do remember that it was, you know, a very early access game, $30 on Steam for quite some time. I don't know how exclusive it was as it launched.
Okay. So, but one of the things I've noticed, particularly because I've started playing Splatoon more.
Okay.
Because I used to be a big Halo guy, like Halo 3 and Reach. I was topping leaderboards.
You don't want this work in Halo 3. Absolutely.
But I wanted to try and get back to something like that because, you know, you guys all know, everybody listening, Pokemon, it's not hot right now. Like, people just aren't interested in it as much. And it's tough for, you know, somebody such as myself to try and make a living off it, any creator for that matter. So I wanted to try and, like, get back to my roots a little bit. And I feel like there was at least a decent mesh between, like, Pokemon, Fire Emblem, and Splatoon. Like, people were probably into that. And so one of the first things I saw in the Splatoon Plaza, people can, like, write little messages and have their have, like, a text bubble above their character in the plaza. And one of the first messages I saw was, "Fortnite sucks." Nice. I was like, wow, the salt even transfers over to here. Because I know there's, like, a lot of, maybe not a lot, but I've sensed some serious back and forth between PUBG and Fortnite. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they are kind of, fundamentally, they're different, but the overall gist is pretty similar.
The genre is there, you know, it is at heart a battle royale. And people are gonna argue and bicker. It's the same conversation of, you know, oh, I like Halo 3 better. Oh, well, I like Call of Duty Modern Warfare better. You know, it's that same argument. However, I feel back in the day that both of them were really, really excelling at their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the numbers across the board, you know, you saw kind of like an even amount of interest in both games.
So
whereas nowadays I don't think that's so much the case.
So how would you say the two compare? Because I know you've been passionate about both of these things. You I feel like you know the ins and outs. So, what would compare them?
So PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, and at the core, it's a good game. I believe that from a player's aspect, it's very realistic as far as it goes. You know, you drop in, you got to find a gun that, you know, there's no, you know, there's obviously, you know, medicine and, you know, clerical aids and stuff around to be able to help you, you know, regenerate your health back. You can swap out your armor if it gets damaged off of other players, perhaps other finding stuff. And it's very, I want to say slow paced because it's got such a large map. Still the same amount of 100 players within the game, and you slowly work your way in, and, you know, like I said, it's very realistic. From a player's perspective, you know, you feel like you are in the middle of it. You drop in, you found a weapon, you fought this guy, whereas in Fortnite, that's not so much the case. I'll keep talking about PUBG before I go back to Fortnite. That was from a player's perspective. From a viewer's perspective, it gets almost mesmerizing to watch. Because of the story it tells, you know, because of they've got now they have originally back when I was playing, they only had the one map in PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. Now they feature two maps, both of which have a third person and a first person mode. And every time you play a match, it tells a different story. You know, unless you're the guy who's dropping the same spot every same time, every time you drop in, it tells a different story. You know, you are an unarmed person trying to survive and defend yourself. And how well you're going to do. And because of how slow paced it is, it almost feels cinematic in a sense as a viewer. And the better players obviously are going to drop into more highly populated areas and be able to come out of that war zone, you know, beaten, bruised, and scarred, but they've got a lot of great ammo and they've got a lot of great gear on them. And, you know, it builds all that much hype for when it becomes, you know, only 10 people and, you know, the existing circle on the island in which people can battle in is getting so small. They're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to my favorite player? It provides that. I feel Fortnite provides that in a little bit of a sense. I feel as though the colorful nature of it, I'll say, I don't like, it's obviously cartoony. it's obviously a cartoon game if you've ever seen it. Mm-hmm. But I feel the colorful nature kind of reduces the serious cinematic feel that you would get from PUBG. But at the same time, I feel like that's more welcoming and inviting to a lot of people, especially a younger audience who, you know, their parents might not let them, you know, with these, with killing in video games, with, you know, blood on the screen and stuff like that. You know, in Fortnite, you know, you don't see any blood. You don't kill another player. You eliminate another player. Their body doesn't sit there for the rest of the match and then slowly fade. A little bot comes in and teleports them out of the map because they've been eliminated from the game. So it's not, you know, it provides a little bit more wholesome, I'd say a little bit family-friendlier content. And the fast-paced nature of it. The map is a lot smaller. You can land at the most northern part of the map and make it down to the most southern part of the map without any use of vehicles. The closest thing they have to a vehicle is a jump pad where you can launch strictly across. And the fast-paced nature of the games kind of gives a little bit more breathing room as far as what does the person playing this game bring to the table? Not just their skill. You know, you can be good at a game, but are you entertaining as well? And I think it attracts different types of content creators to the different games. You know, you see people who are more skilled at a game being able to excel, now bring out more of their personalities in something like Fortnite because the game is only, you know, so many minutes long, maybe 20 minutes long, whereas a game of PUBG, you know, you really have to think, you have to plan. The map is so big. How are you going to travel across? How are you going to be safe? There's a lot more long-term thought involved in it, and the people are more drawn into it because of that, because it's survivability. Whereas, you know, Fortnite, you run in, you build a bridge, you know, you're running around a lot of stuff, and when you lose, you queue back up. So I think they attract different people and different interests in their own respective right, but I think that Fortnite is just attracting the bigger audience based off of, you know, they're more, like I touched on with the whole family-friendlier aspect.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would compare the two. You know, PUBG, a bit more realistic, a little bit more serious in a sense. Fortnite, you know, you can kick back with your friends, have some fun. You know, you play for 20 minutes and you lose. Oh, well, let's grab another one. In PUBG, if you're playing for 20 minutes, you've only seen two guys and all of a sudden you get sniped. You're angry. You're like, wow, that was 20 minutes. I'm never getting back. Some guy hit me from on top of the mountain 300 meters that way.
I have to say, like, as you were describing PUBG, all I could think about was, like, the Hunger Games. That's all that was going through my head. So I was like, oh my god, this is
that literally is how I compare it to. And, you know, for those of you listening who don't know exactly what, so we talk about, you know, 100 people drop in on a map, and there is either a storm, a gas, some sort of enclosing factor, which shrinks the map down into, from a huge spectrum to just a very, very, very small playable area of land. And the goal is to be the last one standing in them. You know, that's the whole aspect of it. So it is almost, in a sense, you know, a little bit Hunger Games-ish.
And the other thing I think that you touched on really well is, I'll paraphrase, the packaging of Fortnite,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of how it is similar to PUBG, but they package it to be a little more appealing to general audiences.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, like, what's the difference between animal fighting and Pokemon? Well, the Pokemon don't die, they just faint.
They just faint, yeah.
And you heal them up immediately.
No, absolutely. I'd agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think it not only speaks volumes just based off of simple observations like that, but also, like I said, the content creators that it attracts, you know, two family-friendly creators that I'm well-versed in, and I believe you're well-versed in as well. Dan TDM and A-Drive, both of them, mm-hmm. you know, very family-friendly creators, both of which broadcast Fortnite on a somewhat regular basis. You know, Dan TDM streaming his Fortnite matches, uploading his Fortnite highlights to YouTube, A-Drive uploading his Fortnite highlights to YouTube, streaming his Fortnite matches on Twitch. I think that speaks volumes as people who have exclusively been known as family-friendly creators now all of a sudden playing this game, whereas you never catch them dead playing, you know, something like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
Yeah. And not to go off on a complete tangent here, but in that sense of family friendliness associated with Fortnite over PUBG, do you think the issue with PewDiePie with the live streaming where he dropped the N-word with the hard R while playing PUBG had any kind of, because that's back when everything just completely went to hell?
Yeah, we just don't recognize PewDiePie anymore. Do I think that's had any effect on its success?
Yeah.
Not at all. I think he could have been playing any game and that could have happened, and it wouldn't have, you know, I believe it more so reflects the creator than it does the content being created.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, somebody can, let me see if I can think of another example outside of PewDiePie. No, I think more so people looked at that situation as, you know, shame on you, PewDiePie, not, you know, shame on PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds for bringing out this side of PewDiePie that the media hasn't seen.
That's fair.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the more I think about gaming culture and media, I feel like perception is like 90% of the meat. And absolutely. It's terrifying as a creator. I don't know if you've thought about this, but like anything that any bigger creator does impacts how people see everybody that's in that field.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more. It's frightening to an extent. But unfortunately it's just kind of the way the world works. And I'd say almost in any sort of industry, you know, say there were to be some sort of outlandish, you know, behavior with a chain of movie theaters. You know, I'm located in Michigan. The Imagine movie franchise is big. I don't know how far that stretches out, but if you're in the Midwest or if you're in Michigan, you know about Imagine theaters. They're around here, very popular movie theater franchise. If they were to do something super outlandish, you know, other movie theaters would have to, you know, be afraid of, you know, well, is that going to affect our business as well? I think stuff like that can affect, you know, maybe to a lesser severe extent because different practices and stuff like that. But I think it can branch out to almost any field of business.
Well, that's actually a pretty good transition into, I didn't intend for that to happen, but that's a pretty good transition into what we're kind of going to be looking at next, which are the big creators and their influence. Essentially, we're going to be talking about the Paul brothers and Ninja and Drake, and one set of those influencers I think are relatively positive forces. Especially, I don't know if you saw the Ninja interview that everybody started talking about last week.
I'm a huge Ninja fan. I saw that interview as soon as it came out, man.
There you go. I mean,
I love it.
He came across to me as a really a genuine, level-headed, you know, intelligent individual who seems to have his priorities down, and he's smart about what he's doing.
Absolutely. You know, I think if I could, I won't go too into detail here, but there'll be some terms I use for people who know what I'm talking about. They'll understand. I made a comment on Twitter saying I couldn't be more proud to have Ninja as the quote-unquote face of Twitch. He's a very wholesome guy. You know, he does good with his stuff. He doesn't flaunt his business. He grinds out his job every single day. You know, you don't see Ninja pulling up, you know, 3 hours late to his own stream with, you know, just gold chains hanging around his neck and, you know, oh, what's up, guys? You know, he wakes up, you know, he does his, wakes up in the morning, spends time with his wife, goes live by about 9:30 or 10 o'clock his time, depending on how late the night before was. Plays for a couple hours, takes a break, spends time with his wife again, gets back on, grinds it out. I mean, he's thankful for everything he's got. He's a very wholesome person. The success that he has also, like I said, you know, he's not going around. He didn't buy a premier mansion in, you know, in Illinois, in Chicago. Him and his wife are sponsoring sick animals every month and paying for their medical bills and being able to take care of them and things like that. And every month they seek out, you know, better ways to be able to help and give back to people. So I think it's, having someone like that on an interview speaking about the goodness of Twitch, the power that, you know, influencer marketing has, the talking about you know, Fortnite Battle Royale and what it brings to the table as far as content goes, I mean, it's absolutely fantastic.
And so we had him kind of at the forefront, which I feel like he's been around a while. He's obviously huge. I feel like this was like a breakout to the general audience. Like anybody who's on Twitch or within the gaming realm of online stuff, like they know Ninja, obviously. They've seen the streams.
It's almost a household name at this point. Two examples are that when I was talking with A-Drive the other day, you know, he brought up that his mother-in-law brought up Ninja just in conversation. And I've met, you know, I've met his mother-in-law before, and she does not appear, you know, maybe I know, don't know the side of her. Maybe she's, you know, a huge Fortnite fan, but she does not come off as the type who keeps up to trends with, you know, popular creators on Twitch. You know, she knows what her son-in-law does, and she supports and loves and respects that, but she doesn't look like the one to keep in the know of everything. So the fact for her to bring up just Ninja in casual conversation, same thing my own mother had brought it up. You know, I had been watching a live stream one time while I was editing a video, and she made a comment about how he was really good at the game. And then 2 weeks later, she's talking about how she confiscated a kid's phone during class, and he was watching, you know, he was watching the same guy. She goes, yeah, these kids were watching that guy you were watching the other day. And I was like, please be a little bit more specific. At the time of this conversation, he had the pink hair for his Goku Rose cosplay.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, they were watching Ninja. Like, no, like you should have watched with him. Like, don't take away your phone. But it's transcending cultural bounds, the amount of success he's seen. And I think that's really awesome.
So for those of you guys who are like completely under rocks and don't know what we're talking about, Ninja and Drake played Fortnite, I think, like a week and a half ago at this point, maybe. And they broke a record, or Ninja did rather, where the highest concurrent viewership for just any one person's stream, not like an esports event or something that was like a big broadcast, just any one person's channel. Crimson, you told me like it was 630 something.
I'm actually looking for a tally right here. So originally, and I'm going to forget, I believe the gentleman's name is Tyler One. Originally, you know, he was off the platform for whatever reason. I think I know the reason, but I'm not going to talk about it in case I'm wrong. I don't want to misspeak about that. And then when he returned, I believe he was a League of Legends broadcaster. You know, he's smashed records. I mean, Twitch went down. It was a whole thing. That was before my time on Twitch. I was not around for that. I did not see the, you know, the success coming out of that. And that was the viewer record on Twitch. And then there's another streamer last year. His name is Dr. Disrespect. He took some time off from broadcasting and came back earlier this year with, I believe, a peak of 300 plus thousand viewers. I believe he was going hand in hand with Tyler in his record. If I'm not mistaken, I believe there was, you know, arguments as to who broke whose record there, who did what. And both of which were new viewer records on Twitch. And then as Ninja was playing Fortnite late into the evening, he received a message from Drake, who's a hip hop artist, a rap artist, if you guys are not familiar. And he wanted to play duos with Ninja. And started hitting up numbers as far as 200,000, 300,000, 400,000. I mean, just numbers on numbers on numbers. And then Drake ended up tweeting out the stream that he was doing duos with Fortnite with Ninja, and he added a link to it. And the number that I'm seeing right here, it doesn't give me a specific number, but the Ninja stream reached 628,000 viewers.
Wow. Dude.
Here it is right here. Dr. Disrespect and Tyler One reached over 300,000 concurrent viewers earlier this year. Oh, so it was earlier this year. I was around for it. I just wasn't paying attention, I guess. But over 300,000. And then he proceeds to double the previous record for concurrent viewers on a single stream. Now, there have been tournaments and things like that which have received, you know, millions of views before. But this is just for a single broadcaster's channel. 628,000. I mean, I can't imagine 628,000 of anything. I couldn't imagine looking at my Twitch dashboard and seeing that number.
Which, for perspective, I'm sure that a lot of people who are listening right now have tuned in to the stream that you, Tyler, and Dan did when Usum launched. I know you guys got featured on the front page. What did you guys end up hitting?
I believe the peak was 13,000.
Okay. So, just to give you guys a perspective, all right, three huge names doing their thing in Pokemon, right? 13K, huge number. We're talking almost 630,000. That's over 500,000, fam. Listen to this number. That is huge.
Oh, it's absolutely insane. And I will mention that further into the evening, you know, helping to further the records outside of doing, you know, duo gameplay with Drake, Travis Scott, another hip hop artist, did join up. Juju Smith-Schuster. He's the, I believe he's the wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, also joined up. I mean, Juju went out and he bought, he was trying to stream off a Mac and he wanted to play and get in on this so bad. He just went to Best Buy and picked up a new gaming computer to come back and play Fortnite with, you know, Drake and Travis Scott and Ninja. I mean, it was not only having someone as Ninja and Drake playing the game together, breaking these cultural barriers, but now all of a sudden we've got another hip hop artist. So if you're not a fan of Drake, but you like Travis Scott, all of a sudden he's playing. If you don't even listen to hip hop music, but you like Fortnite and sports, you've got the wide receiver for the Steelers joining in on this and, you know, just publicly talking about his love for Fortnite and how excited he is to play with these guys. I mean, it's monumental.
Which there's been a lot of athletes lately, I feel like, I've been noticing athletes pop up around their interest in like live streaming on Twitch. Mm-hmm. I think it's good. Oh yeah. I mean, like, one of the things, not to go off on a tangent, but one of the things I've been preaching to like the VGC community, but nobody listens to me anyway, so it doesn't really matter, is like they're so stuck in the concept of, well, we are this community, and I'm like, guys, no, you gotta cross promote, you gotta get people from other communities, other interests, you gotta bring people out and in. That's how that works, man. And what Twitch is doing and what I think Fortnite has really zoned in on is, as you said earlier, it's appealing to a general audience. So you've got people wanting to watch it, people wanting to play it from all backgrounds, all interests, all communities. And that is kind of what helped it blow up. And it clearly did. If you're going to double the Twitch viewership record for a single channel, mm-hmm. I mean, that game has to have some kind of appeal or juice.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though you've got big influencers playing it, the game itself has to have something monumental about it to attract those different types of influencers to even want to play it. So,
100%.
That said, I think the viewers were all the winners that night because the memes that came out of that stream.
Oh, God.
The next day on my Twitter feed, I could not scroll but two messages without seeing something about a God's plan meme. Like, it was just like every single time, man. Oh, my goodness. It was insane.
There were so many memes. I can't think about my favorite. I think one of the ones that stood out to me, it was either that. So the meme originated, you know, obviously Drake's song, but the meme originated where Ninja's out of resources and he asked Drake, he says, like, do you have any resources? He's like, yeah, I've got like 300 brick. He's like, all right, can you split it with me? He's like, I'll just give it all to you because you'll do better with it. And then, like, I think he muted Drake so he could look at his chat and be like, God's plan. And then another one that happened after Travis Scott had joined up, you know, one of the ways of healing yourself in Fortnite is through the use of bandages. And Travis Scott gets revived and he only has 30 out of 100 health. And he asks and he goes, any of y'all got any Band-Aids? And that was another thing. And Ninja started laughing at it. And then Travis yelled at him to shut up. And it was a very enjoyable night, I believe, not only for those watching, but also the aftermath of the meme, for sure.
So I don't think that type of interaction could take place in a PUBG setting. Just to bring it all back to what we talked about, like,
yeah, I
15
think,
minutes
you know,
ago.
There's some colorful squads that, you know, I'm a big fan of Team Solo Mid. They're players playing PUBG. You know, they have a chemistry. You know, back when Ninja used to stream PUBG with the, you know, Luminosity players that he was with, they had a chemistry. But you wouldn't see too much variety in other streamers playing with each other on that. Every now and then, you know, you'd see somebody like Shroud pairing up with someone like Dr. Disrespect, and there'd be some chemistry there, but it wasn't, I feel as though Fortnite brings a little bit more lightheartedness to the table, allowing almost any creator to play with anybody and just, you know, have a good time regardless.
So this has actually then influenced the game, flipping the tables here, the game has actually influenced other big creators or influencers to start looking at Twitch a little bit differently, because if you guys are not familiar with the online platform situations going on right now, Twitch is kind of changing its terms of services around because they have seen the disaster that is YouTube and its TOS and how it handles with that. And much to Twitch's credit, they are trying to be a little more proactive in terms of letting people know that things are changing and things are happening. And I think the new TOS just went into effect like last week, I want to say, or earlier this week.
Shortly. Not, it hasn't been in effect for too long.
So, I don't know. I feel like these online platforms are really starting to see potential, but with that potential also comes a lot of liability. And again, I think some big names that we've seen, the Paul brothers, PewDiePie, there's, you know, for better or worse, while they can generate a lot of growth on the platform, there's also a lot of liability. So these platforms are kind of buckling down and creating a sense of, okay, well, these are our guidelines. Mm-hmm. So we have our bases covered now. Whereas before, you know, a year ago, it wasn't really that big a deal. And respectively, like YouTube could have been in a much worse position than it is right now. It's still kind of a hot mess.
Yeah.
But it could have been a lot worse. If, you know, a multitude of like PewDiePie's or Paul brothers or something like that, like if you had a vast majority of creators doing that, it would have been in a much worse position than it is now. So you've got other influencers from different platforms kind of looking at Twitch now saying, wow, 630K, that's a lot of money, man. I'm interested. And not only that, but much to Twitch's credit, I think something we haven't really touched on yet is the Amazon partnership with that Prime, getting the Prime loot every month. I think they just did a feature with Fortnite actually, which kind of helped.
Yep, they did a for those guys who do not know, connecting your, and I've almost got this down to a speech at this point, connecting your Twitch account with your Amazon Prime account, anyone's Amazon Prime account really, as long as, you know, given permission, gives you a free month of subscription to your favorite affiliated streamers and partnered streamers on Twitch. Every 30 days, it does not auto renew. You can, you know, either choose to renew it with the same streamer, or you can, you know, kind of shop around with it. It gives you free loot every month. They just featured a exclusive Fortnite skin only available through Twitch and Amazon Prime. They something I'm a big fan of. They just launched the Devil May Cry HD collection. And if you have Twitch Prime, you receive the first game in that franchise absolutely free just for having a part of it. Right. I think the benefits from a creator as well, while it's completely free on your end, you know, the Twitch streamer still does see the same revenue sharing as a regular, what's known as a tier one subscription, as far as it does give you ad free viewing across the platform as well. Whereas the creator, normally if you didn't view the ad, the creator wouldn't be paid for it. You know, say a broadcaster runs an ad during the stream, you don't see that, but as far as metrics and revenue breakdown, you are counted as watching, you know, that commercial, so to speak. So I think it's an absolutely game-changing, it's absolutely game-changing as far as being able to support streamers on Twitch while also getting the most bang for your buck while using your current Amazon Prime accounts. Almost a better YouTube Red, I'd say, in a sense.
And, I mean, just to double back earlier, Amazon is taking Twitch seriously. They started, Twitch Prime started like a year ago, maybe a little bit later than that. If people, obviously the Ninja stream that broke records drew a lot of focus to Twitch. Amazon got in early. And,
oh, yeah.
Twitch is now backed by Amazon. It's like, you know, YouTube is backed by Google, essentially. Yep. They're one and the same.
Yep.
I'd put smart money on Amazon any day.
Absolutely.
I'm convinced they're taking over the world, just little by little.
Oh, I would wholeheartedly agree with that as well.
So, anyway, long story short, you've got other people interested in Twitch now. And two of those that are more recent, both in online controversy and general interest in Twitch, were Logan and Jake Paul. Taking interest in Twitch. So if you're not familiar with the Paul brothers, let me give you a 50-second breakdown of their entire career. Big on Vine. Vine shut down. Moved to YouTube. They already had massive communities following them to YouTube. And what Jake and Logan did was they started doing videos, and occasionally they would integrate a diss video from one to the other. And so what you had happening there was there were a lot of people from, let's say, Logan's community flocking to Jake's channel to see what he was saying about Logan, and then Logan would make a response, and then everybody from Jake's channel would go over to Logan's channel and see that. So there was a lot of it's essentially cross promotion for the for those of you guys who I know. Shameless plug here: Crimson and A Drive have a extreme randomizer shiny lock insanity thing going on right now. I've seen the thumbnails; they look ridiculous.
It's a mouthful. It's a mouthful if you can run it.
But they upload every other episode to the other person's channel. So you guys have to go from Crimson's channel to Dan's channel to back to Crimson's. And so that kind of creates that a similar, I'm trying to bridge the gap here, a similar type of audience interaction going from one person's channel to the other. And so that kind of, at the time, exploited YouTube's promotion algorithm and kind of caused their YouTube channels to blow up. So now they're huge. Right? And then they do a bunch of stupid things that cause people to hate them, except their own communities, for the most part. And in contrast to people like Ninja, they are very much about the flash, and they're very unapologetic about it, constantly pushing their merch, showing how successful they are. They're very flashy individuals, whereas I think Ninja is using his online celebrity to kind of make things better. These two influencers are more in it for themselves, in a sense. So recently, Team 10, which is, I believe, Jake, they announced Team 10 Gaming, which is coming to Twitch, and they made that announcement video on YouTube, like, late February. I want to say it was, like, the 23rd or something like that. And then last week, we had Logan say, oh, well, I'm gonna check out Twitch now too. And this was post Ninja Drake plus company that set the world breaking or the Twitch breaking stream. So these other influencers, as Twitch is kind of like reworking their terms of service, are looking to go to a platform, and their communities are relatively known as toxic. I don't think I'm surprising anybody by saying that necessarily, unless you are fairly familiar, you know, unless you are a fan or within that community, I think you're maybe kind of blindsided by it. But everybody else kind of just wishes they would go away, I think, for the most part. It's kind of like, well, can we not talk about it? Can we please just not talk about it right now? I don't know. So some of my initial thoughts were like, okay, so Jake announced, you know, his crew going on to Twitch, the Ninja Drake stream happens, and then Logan suddenly looks enticed and starts a Twitch channel, which gets 100,000 followers within a couple hours, by the way. As someone who's been full-time on Twitch for like a year, and I'm still at 4,600, I'm like, well, okay, that hurts a little bit. However, there's some benefit. I'm very much anti, like, oh my god, are we really doing this right now? Like, do we have to do this right now? Twitch just got into such a good spot, and now we're bringing Logan Paul over. Really? We gotta do that? The guy who got, like, demonetized or temporarily suspended from YouTube for a little while? Like, now we gotta deal with this dude? Like, really? So
there's a lot of YouTubers moving over, and whether it be on their own accord for seeing the growth, the potential for Twitch, you know, the potential, and a lot of people, you know, if you make content to make content, you know, awesome. If you make content as a means of providing for yourself and making money, cool too. You know, don't be ashamed for what you do, why you do, just do it. There's a number of YouTubers, two of which I know of off the top of my hand, you know, Markiplier and Jacksepticeye now provide exclusive content on Twitch. They are, you know, they don't re-upload that content to YouTube. It is exclusively only on Twitch, however many. I believe it's a two-year contract from what I read, as a means to help grow the platform. And whether or not that's the same case with the Paul brothers, given their controversial past, pairing that with the new terms of service that Twitch has, though, I think that could provide not only more growth on the platform, but a little bit more visibility for other creators.
So, yes. So there's two sides of this. And as you eloquently said amidst all of my rambling, thank you for that. You touched on a good point, which is it does bring positives. and it is going to show exposure. And it's not just, you know, the Paul brothers, but I guess my input to that would be, I feel like negative press goes viral a lot quicker than positive press. So until you saw the Ninja interview, for example, you probably didn't know that him and his wife sponsored animals, or that, you know, they do, what was it? They just did a stream last month that raised like $114,000 for charity.
Like, yeah. So they did a, I believe it was for, I'm not even going to comment on it because I'm going to be wrong. But I do remember the stream that they did. I was there for that. I remember the, and there's a lot of stuff that they do publicly talk about, but I think the fact that the highlight of the interview was also them talking about the sponsoring of the animals as well, I do believe that also helps out quite a bit.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like negative press is going to be more flashy. And the Paul brothers specifically, they're going to do something dumb, you know? That's what they do.
Oh, yeah. And I think, though, in this case, there's a little bit more of a pull from the positivity coming out of this. You know, I would compare it to the late 2017 scandal of whichever Paul brother went to Japan to the now viral success of Ninja and Fortnite and all that other stuff. Whereas, you know, people knew I ran a YouTube channel and things like that before. They didn't, you know, I wasn't having people from high school, people from previous jobs come ask me, you know, oh, wow, how's that doing, blah, blah, blah. But now all of a sudden they see, you know, this thing with Fortnite and with Ninja. And now I've got people coming out of the blue who I haven't spoke to in years asking me about Twitch, asking me about all this other stuff. So I think there is still a barrier that negativity hasn't, that the negativity that they could potentially have on the platform hasn't quite superseded yet.
That's fair. That kind of sums up my feelings on it. I know I come off as incredibly pessimistic about it, but I am slightly hopeful. You know, I know something stupid's going to happen. That's where I'm at. I'm upset because I know something stupid's going to happen, and then every broadcaster on Twitch is going to have that light on them. Similar to when, you know, PewDiePie messed up on YouTube, and then Logan did that Suicide Forest video. Every YouTuber, big and small, is going to have that on their shoulders. Twitch hasn't really been that bad, and I, you know, I've not necessarily been like, so when you go home for the holidays, right? And you gotta tell your grandparents what it is you're doing for a living right now. And you're like, oh, well, I'm a YouTuber. And they might be in touch with it and be like, oh, you're that. I haven't really felt the negative connotation of Twitch. And so I'm kind of just like bracing myself in my little shell of pessimism over here, like waiting for something terrible to happen. And while it hasn't happened yet, obviously, like I don't think either of them have done any of their first streams. It is going to be big. They are going to bring a lot more people over to the platform. I think it'll have better long-term effects in spite of the potential negative short-term, I guess. That's what I would say.
I don't see, so here's what I think with them moving over as far as like a long-term versus short-term perspective. I think long-term, you know, their reach will allow more people to know what the platform is. And then in turn, my hope would be that those people would explore Twitch a little bit more. I don't know how, you know, horse blinded their fans are to not want to explore, you know, the platform of YouTube more, but like I have a wide variety of interests on YouTube, originally stemming from watching Pokemon Let's Players. So originally watching somebody like a Logan or a Jake Paul, how does that expand their interests on YouTube? Will that mirror on Twitch? As far as the long term goes, that would be my hope, that, you know, if they start using the platform where they're like, oh, well, you know, Jake or Logan aren't on, you know, maybe go check out this person playing this game and, you know, see stuff like that. That would be my hope. I don't feel there's a lot of talk about the potential toxicity of their viewer base being introduced to Twitch. I don't think, unless, and I'm going to use this word and it's going to sound really weird, like it's poking a bear, but I don't think unless Provoke, that toxicity is going to bleed through to other channels, because I feel as though the Paul brothers were to, you know, stream, let's say 4 hours a day, twice a day on Twitch, or not twice a day, twice a week on Twitch. You know, they pull, say, 25,000 viewers a stream. and then they get off. I don't think they're going to embrace the Twitch culture of, you know, raiding and hosting other streamers, you know, making friends through wholesome means of helping, you know, introduce communities to each other. I think it is going to be more of a, I live stream here for a couple hours. I make, you know, I do what I do on Twitch, whether it be, you know, subscriptions, whether it be ad revenue through the broadcast, whether it be, you know, cheers or donations, things like that. And then we're done. You know, we provided the content. We, you know, reap the benefits of that content. That's it. I don't think that toxicity from the platform is going to spread through. I don't think, you know, for instance, the Paul brothers would raid my channel and then all of a sudden my community is corrupted because I have a bunch of these people, you know, just spamming a bunch of whatever they want to in my chat room. I don't think that's the case at all. And I think a lot of people are worried about that. And I think if people are worried about that, really just kind of mind your own business as far as it comes down to, you know?
That's fair. I'm thinking back to the Logan Paul video on New Year's that was the Suicide Forest video. We talked about that in a previous episode if you really want to get filled in on it. But a creator made a response to it, Raina Scully, who is Japanese. She's a big creator. She's actually just now on Twitch. She was on YouTube. She did stuff for Crunchyroll, SourceFed, all kinds of stuff. And Logan's community just bombarded her channel with hate. And so what I'm kind of thinking is, going back to what you said about provocation, I think if one streamer, which I've seen a lot of vocalization for it on Twitter, if somebody asks, like, I'm the type of person, if somebody asks my opinion, I'll give it. I'm not necessarily going to go out of my way to, like, spread hate on the Paul brothers. But if one streamer, if one broadcaster comes out and says, you know, this is terrible, just the second that one of them messes up, I feel like something similar could potentially happen. And that's why I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Twitch's terms of service. Because the broadcaster is now, in a sense, kind of, not completely, but a little bit liable for the actions of the majority of their community. So the broadcaster is going to have to be like, listen, guys, don't do this. This is like, just don't go, let, you know, don't go out spreading whatever. Please don't. And if not, you know, the repercussions on them is going to be pretty negative. So I don't know what's going to happen in terms of that. I think, you know, that might be, that's the most logical thing I could see. If something's going to go terrible, something's going to go wrong, that's the kind of potential that I see happening in terms of, you know, just the Paul brothers communities with their raids of poorly misspelled insults, if YouTube carries over at all. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So I think it has good long term effect. I'm just kind of bracing for the awfulness. What are your final thoughts on all of the Twitch explosion and the potential as a creator? Like, what? Just give me some of your general thoughts.
I think that Twitch is doing it right now. I think with the recent video of YouTube coming out mentioning about the lack of notifying every single one of your subscribers, they decide and choose which one of your subscribers gets notified of your content. Oof. I think Twitch contracting exclusive content through larger creators provides a little bit more growth. I think the, and a lot of people question whether or not the stream that we mentioned earlier between Drake and Ninja, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Scott, Kim.com, all those people was a paid event. That was just people coming together over the love of a video game. And I think that's really embracing what we need right now as content creators, is seeing natural growth, not incentivized growth, not, you know, paid promotional growth, not, you know, it's really encouraging and uplifting for broadcasters right now. And I think now more than ever, live streaming is becoming what it needs to be taken seriously as, seeing the impact that not only individual streamers have in day-to-day life, but also the potential that influencer marketing can bring to the table from a business aspect. I think this is now the wave of, whereas originally everybody was on YouTube and then they kind of streamed for fun on the meantime, I think we're going to start seeing a cultural shift of people are live streaming full time while making YouTube videos on the side. I think the YouTube will become the hobby part of the career, and live streaming will become a more dominant force in content creation. I'd say by by or before 2020.
I would agree with that. I think things are going to get really, really interesting over the next 1 to 3 years. And, you know, if you manage to get in on the ground level,
If there's anybody out there who has been talking about, oh, well, I'd like to, you know, become a content creator. I'll tell you, like I was told from somebody who's mentored me along the way, best time to get in on it was yesterday. You know, just start now, because sooner or later it's going to be similar to YouTube, where the thick of it, I'll say, is becoming so condensed and so, I don't want to say oversaturated, because I feel to an extent Twitch broadcasters can have a little bit more personality. Whereas if somebody sees, you know, how PewDiePie edits a video, they can provide the same edits. But I feel like there will be a little bit more, hopefully, diversity among content creators and things like that. I'd say get in on it now.
Good advice. And don't be afraid to branch out, fam.
Not at all. Not at all. You know, it's a start branching out early. You know, my advice would be keep it somewhat maintained. But if you'd like to have I hate the phrasing, but the variety broadcaster aspect, if that's what you're shooting for, you know, keep it within a realm. You know, I know a gentleman by the name of KantoCast Blue. You guys might be familiar with him. originally Pokemon, doing things like Fire Emblem and Splatoon. Now that's a great genre of video games that still maintains the same somewhat interest of not only viewership, but holds that. Whereas if you're streaming League of Legends tomorrow, you're streaming live crossword puzzles with your grandmother. Then on Friday, you're doing a double feature of Sea of Thieves and then GoldenEye 007 for the Nintendo 64. It's going to be rather hard to develop a consistent fan base on that.
Yeah, that's rough. you got to have a good cross platform. I think that's pretty pretty clutch. Well, hey, listen, guys, we're about to wrap up, but before we do, I'm going to give a quick shout out to all of our patrons and our Twitch subscribers. We've been talking about people like you for this entire episode. All of you viewers, supporters, champions of content creators, those of you who support me, I love and appreciate you. There's nothing you can do that's going to make me change my mind about that, because you literally help me pay my bills every month. And that's pretty darn fantastic. I don't know. Like, if I can't pay bills, then I got nothing, right? So you guys help me support that. You help keep the lights on over here at KantoCast HQ. So thank you so much for doing that. Crimson, my dude, I want to thank you for coming on.
And absolutely. Always, like I said beforehand, always a pleasure.
You have a wealth of knowledge that I don't think you get credited for all that often. you're an entertaining guy. You're successful. You know what you're doing. But dang, man, you know stuff, and I appreciate that about you. So thank you for coming on, sharing your passion for the Battle Royale style of gameplay, your knowledge on Ninja and just Twitch in general. You are the man. And if you guys want to get more in touch with Crimson Seabad, capital C, capital B, capital A, capital D, you can check out the links in the description of this episode. We got his Twitter, we got his YouTube, we got his Twitch. He's always got something going on, because he's one of them variety broadcasters who is just so fantastic at what he's doing. But that's enough of me fanboying, so we won't do that anymore. Crimson, thank you so much for coming on, my dude. I appreciate
you. Thank you very much for having me. You guys, thank you for tuning in. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Show some love on this episode. Share with a friend if you guys are trying to learn more about, you know, Fortnite, Battle Royale, all that good stuff. Takes on Twitch and YouTube. Definitely share it out. If people are asking about Twitch, you don't know how to answer it, slide them our way. We can help them out a little bit.
There you go. That's what we're here for. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you again to Crimson. For Crimson Seabad, as always, I am Blue, and I will catch you next time.